Springtime and Green Acres. I'm looking over my Green Acres and thinking about Chicago. And does Chicago need a rebrand as the convention approaches? Is that all it takes? Some slick public relations to erase all the street crime and all the generations of public school kids who can't read or do math at grade level and who are now fit for prison? On this edition of the Chicago Way, we'll talk to writer Erin Geary. She doesn't think a rebrand is needed, and she's written a fine column about it, and it goes down like a good cup of common sense at johncastnews.com. With Erin Geary is co-host of this podcast, WGN's executive producer, Jeff Carlin. And I'm John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News. Chicago media used to pride itself on being iconoclastic, skeptical. But now they serve as cheerleaders for the regime at City Hall, at the Cook County Building, in the Chicago public schools that don't work. The regime has a front man, Mayor Brandon Panic Attacks Johnson, and the two brains behind the throne are boss Tony Preckwinkle and Indiana girl Stacy Davis Gates. Hi, neighbor Stacy. She's the president of the powerful Chicago Teachers Union that dictates Illinois politics. But when reporters stopped acting like cheerleaders and started asking questions about Mayor Johnson and the ShotSpotter program, then Stacy gets all upset and plays the race card and invokes dead white European males. Yes, she brings up Shakespeare, one of those dead white European males.
Look, I'm not going to be a part of the narrative of Lady Macbeth to a black man that doesn't have a brain. Like, that ain't my role. My role is to run the Chicago Teachers Union, and the city of Chicago elected Mayor Brandon Johnson to do his role. The conflation that he can't do his job, the insinuation that I play the role of a Lady Macbeth actually is both racist and sexist in the way that it is always almost leveled. Please stop doing that. Please let me be the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, which I am told is one of the most powerful unions in this entire country. That's my job, and it's more than enough.
Lady Macbeth? Come on, Stacy. You're posing as the crazy white lady with the big hair who kept muttering to herself and seeing nightmares and washing her hands of all those murders? Well, if you're going to wash your hands, Stacy from Indiana, then first wash your hands from the strangulation of the scholarship program that once helped poor black and brown kids go to private schools. Yeah, like the one your son goes to. But Lady McGates killed that scholarship program, didn't she? And Stacy, wash your hands of all the kids who go through K through 12 in CPS and can't read, and wash them all of those who can't do math at grade level and yet have been trained up at a cost to Chicago taxpayers of about $28,000 a year to be fit only for one thing, going to prison. Oh yeah, and taxpayers will pay for that too. Well, while you're freaking out on Shakespeare, Stacy, remember it's not just Mayor Johnson whose intellect has been publicly questioned. Remember Mayor Richard M. Daley? Yeah, he was another one. But he didn't have a boss Tony and a Stacy from Indiana to do his thinking and play his race cards. He could play his race cards. That's what you do. When I was at the paper, I used to call him Mayor Fredo, in honor of the thin-witted Corleone brother. Remember Frida?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
Erin Geary is here. And Jeff Carlin and me, John Cass. And so where are you? As Stacy of Indiana washes her hands, as Brandon Johnson seeks media public relations help to erase what he's done and what the Democratic Party has done, as street crime keeps claiming lives in the city that says it wants a rebrand. Where are you? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way,
That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
As promised, Aaron Gary, who wrote a great piece for John Cass News called No Chicago Rebrand Needed, Education and Public Safety Above Cheap PR. Aaron, where did you come up with these radical thoughts that we need public safety and education above cheap PR? Isn't that rather extreme of you?
Well, I'm certain that a lot of people in government right now would agree with you. I've found a piece on Chicago, Crane Chicago Business, What Does Chicago Need Next? A Rebranding by John Plotz, that basically argued that our leadership needed to tout all of our accomplishments and not get bogged down by all of its failures. And in that way, we could get more people wanting to come to our beautiful city, certainly overlooking the crime and overlooking all of the education issues and the real estate tax issues and what have you, and just focus in on how pretty our city is and how everybody just loves to be in the city of Chicago. And I can't disagree. I mean, we've got some of the best museums in the world. We've got a beautiful lakefront. Honestly, it's, to me, the most beautiful city in the United States, and I would probably argue the world. Paris, but with the lakefront and the skyline, it's gorgeous. And there are so many possibilities for the city of Chicago, but they're being overlooked by people at a business journal that want to say, all we need is a rebrand. And that to me is just incredibly astounding when we are seeing the amount of businesses that have already left and others that are on the brink. So that's basically where I started getting my ideas from.
Well, she got angry, Jeff Carlin, you could tell. And I'm glad she did, because somebody's got to. I mean, this idea that you can address with spin structural defects that you've created and caused, it's kind of like Biden blaming everyone else for the border, you know? He's right. The one responsible. And the same thing here. What is going on with Brandon Johnson, Aaron Gary? What is going on?
Well, Brandon has got a lot of issues. Clearly, he is having heart palpitations over all the things that he didn't expect to see when he became mayor, which was shocking, because he was part of the in-group, being part of the CTU. He should have at least had some clue. But we knew in the debates he was almost Obama-like in, gosh, he could smile and he could give the great speeches to people that they would be magnetized to, but really was out of his depth with the amount of issues that the city has.
Clearly.
But the idea that he himself tries to rebrand things, that the kids that are out causing mayhem, we can't call them baby Al Capones. We're not allowed to.
It's not even that we can't call them baby Al Capones, because nobody did that, actually. He said that when they said there was a mob action, that has ties to criminal organized crime from the Al Capone era. Well, we're basically calling them baby Al Capones. So he even rebranded what the definition of mob action is. That's how deep it is with this guy. He can't even help that.
Well, no, because he doesn't understand the difference between a mob action and the mafia, mm-hmm. which is striking to me also, because that shows a lack of Chicago history.
How you doing? How you doing, Aaron Gary? How you doing?
I'm doing good? Well.
Really?
You got my envelope, John?
Yeah, how you doing? So, okay, well, yeah, he got upset there. And then, as you heard from me in the intro, Lady Macbeth, Lady Stacey Davis Gates, got all upset and get, you know, like, how dare you suggest that I'm Lady, what did she say? How dare you suggest I'm Lady Macbeth and that Johnson doesn't have a brain? Okay, here's my view. You're not Lady Macbeth, and yes, he does not have a brain. So I don't know what to do with that.
Well, I just find it ironic that she wants to say that, and yet she's always in front of the camera,
right?
And she's asking for billions of dollars.
50?
She's 50 billion plus 3 cents. I always specify that because it was such a, it's just a snide comment.
Right. It's just
the citizens of Chicago. It's not just saying I need $50 billion and these are the reasons why. It was we're demanding $50 billion and 3 cents.
Plus the change in your pocket. We want all your money plus the change in your pocket. And for those who might not have caught or picked up on this or saw this earlier in the week, Stacey Davis Gates was before a city club of Chicago. And was laying out her hopes and dreams for the next contract with this city, which would total in about $50 billion, which for perspective's sake, Illinois' entire working budget is like $50.7 billion. So I don't know where she wants to get it from, but this is what she said.
We are asking you to give us an opportunity to tell our story. It will cost $50 billion and 3 cents. Where is the Civic Federation Committee? Where y'all at? Where y'all table? Yes, it will.
There it is. That number means mass exodus beyond what we've already seen in the middle class from this city. But she's going to laugh about it because she's going to get it because she put this guy in office, and when she wants to pretend she didn't, just we have to show the receipts. You know, the CTU is the biggest donor by millions and millions and millions and millions and millions. And I could go on, but I'm going to cut it there. But it's a joke. And she's slapping us in the face and telling us, that wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. You slapped yourself in the face. Am I wrong?
I think that's the lack of wherewithal as far as the connection with people. So he did his people tour. Let me go out. I'm going to talk with people and I'm going to get the ideas from them of what our city needs.
Listening
you have that on one hand, and then you have Stacey Davis Gates and Preckwinkle on the other hand that are slyly doing things behind the scenes and then coming out and saying exactly what it is that they want to do. And people are taken aback by it. And I'm like, but they've been saying this stuff all along. They said this stuff when they were, you know, running for office. So in a way, yeah, kudos. They're being honest. I mean, maybe I could run as a congressman one day and just say, honestly, the only reason that I'm running is because I want the pension when I'm retired. Maybe people will vote for me for that. I don't know. But it's not helping our kids. And we have crime spiraling out of control. And at younger and younger ages, we're no longer talking about, I mean, the gangs are there, but we really aren't hearing about that. We're hearing about these young teenagers that are just going on crime sprees. If they're not educated, if there's nothing else for them to do, what is the expectation? The expectation is they're going to be criminals. And nobody seems to care. She's a CTU president. And she's more interested in how much her teachers get paid than if they're actually doing their job.
She also said that she'll use that to tell her story, right? She'll use that money. Wait a minute. There have been reporters in this town, and I know a little bit about it because I've been here, who have been carrying the water for CTU for decades, from the Tribune, especially, and from the Sun-Times. And those of us who weren't carrying her water used to see these stories in the newspapers, and we'd turn to each other and say, oh my God, do you believe this shit? Like they're this is like the comm shop of CTU. The way they framed the stories about, you know, what the union needs, what teachers need, as if they really gave two figs about the kids. And you look at the numbers now, and the Chicago teachers, I mean, the product is a laughingstock. Yes, Aaron, you're a former teacher. Totally.
It's totally a laughingstock, and it also depends on which neighborhoods you're in. So your last podcast had Pastor Brooks on, and if you look at the Woodlawn area, 7% are reading at grade level. Roughly 7% are doing math at grade level. It depends on different neighborhoods. So overall, yeah, maybe 30% in the city are reading. But if you go to certain lower end neighborhoods, the numbers are even worse than that. And yet they're graduating, and they're graduating without skills. And a city cannot function without a working base. If you can't read and you can't do basic math, you're going to have a hard time. And then it trickles down into businesses, because then businesses are going to start outsourcing. And that was one of the things in Crane, Chicago also, was the fact that we should be very happy that college graduates are coming to the city of Chicago because of the Fortune 500 companies. Well, that's swell, but what about the people who live here who aren't able to get a job? And the worse the crime gets, it's just this domino effect. The worse the crime gets, the more the shops close, the more small businesses close, the more food deserts there are. It just becomes a bigger drag on welfare. And nobody seems to be seeing this, because they propose then the Bring Chicago Home, where we're going to be raising taxes on people who have residents that are above $1 million. Well, I don't mean to be rude, but that's really not that high in the city of Chicago. Then you're pushing them out too. And they think that they're going to keep these people here in some way, shape, or form, whether it's residential buildings or whether it's commercial buildings. Somehow or other, they just think that this is going to be a yearly, annual, hundreds of millions of dollars just from Bring Chicago Home that's going to help the homeless. But there's no plan. There's no plan of where the money is going to go.
No, they're going to have luxury condos on LaSalle Street's going to be, you know, residential, not commercial. And they're going to have great condos all up and down LaSalle Street. Where's business going? Where's business going to go? Florida, right?
Exactly. They don't have it. Or Texas.
Here's a line from Aaron Geary's, and this is a hard one. And this is probably why Stacey Davis Gates was pulling her hair out like Lady Macbeth. To say, quote, to say that Johnson is a clueless stooge is an understatement, writes Aaron Geary. Elgin's school system must be as poor as the Chicago public schools to have molded our latest mayor.
Well, he's not a product of CPS.
No, he's not.
And the places that he taught were magnet schools. So for him to have a clue of what is going on in the inner city schools, he doesn't. He's not in touch with it whatsoever. And we just keep seeing the same results. Give us more money, and we'll continue to produce children with inabilities to function in society.
Well,
and then we wonder why, oh my gosh, they're, you know, doing burnouts on Michigan Avenue and they're having parties on the street and they're destroying property and they're killing each other.
You don't understand what this is about. This is about full employment for prosecutors who don't prosecute, right, Jeff?
Well, yeah, I mean, the view, and I keep coming back to this, is, you know, we talked about, or kind of opening up the podcast, and how, you know, Chicago is one of the greatest cities in the world. It's a beautiful city, and it's all these things. People used to say that about San Francisco, and people used to say that, you know, about parts of New York and on a whole. But the idea that what they're seeing is that Chicago leads the nation among major cities in affordable housing, as far as the base price point, right? The average home, the cost of living, you know, the average rental cost in this city. And they see, well, that means there's room to grow. If there's, you know, the prices are, they have high prices on the coast, why can't we do that here and take that money to for ourselves? And that's where I see it. They're trying to push us into this position where, you know, all the money from the top is now going to them. And it's completely untenable. And the idea that they also want to put in, you know, they're trying to push, see if they can get the laws changed so that the city can produce its own income tax. And they want to tax people above $150,000 a year at like an insane level. That's not part of it. This is a new, this is other stuff. I mean, there's a whole list of these pie in the sky ideas to raise all this money, but then there's no answer to what that money's going to do. They just roll up platitudes and say, hit years of disinvestment and years of not doing things the right way and years of only helping certain groups. You know, that might all be true, but you don't have a plan. You just want more money.
Well, I don't know how do you get people to invest when they are worried about getting shot off their own porch? And how do you get people to invest when, Aaron, like, I'm a businessman, I want to start a business in Chicago, but who's going to work there? People who can't figure out percentage, like what is 20% of 100? And they can't give you a number.
No.
Because they didn't press the button at McDonald's to tell you that the fries are ready or something. I don't know
even with the small businesses or retail businesses, look at the right. CVSs and what have you. So even if you were to graduate high school,
right,
and you work behind a register at CVS that's going to calculate what change you are going to be giving back to so-and-so, well, then the CVSs get ripped off and CVS no longer wants to be in the area. So not only are the people living there not having a place to go to pick up, you know, sinus medications, there's no jobs. So it's another drag on the system. There's no place else for them to go. They're not going to be hired at a Fortune 500 company because right. they can get them from the Harvards or the Yales or the what have you. It's missed opportunities because we want a narrative. I mean, when Stacey Davis Gates is talking about stories, she means a narrative. And that's political speak for, let me tell you some anecdotes. Every politician does it. You'd be hearing that during, you know, whether right. Trump or Biden or whoever. Oh, you know, Georgia from Wheaton, she's got her story of her personal anecdotes of what has happened to her, blah, 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 blah. And we're supposed to all be in agreement with it because it's coming from the heart. And everybody right. has a narrative that they want to share.
Because feelings, right?
Yes.
Feelings. Right.
It's totally about feelings. And then on top of it, on top of all these other issues, we have the migrant problem that's coming in. And the monies are going directly to them over those that are actually our citizens in these areas. So you're having conflict there too. And then we have the federal government giving an extra $75 million to both the DNC and the RNC for extra security because we don't have enough police officers to do their day-to-day job. It's just, it's this
wait, how cycle are we gonna, of things. Okay, let's talk practical, okay? Practicality, Jeff and Aaron. Mm-hmm. How are we going to have a Democratic National Convention? We want to keep apparently Chicago wants to keep the conventioners alive. So they won't be going to they won't be driving on the Dan Ryan from Sox Park where they could get shot to death. So anyway, you're keeping them alive by taking, what are they going to do? Gather yeah. all the coppers downtown and then what happens to the neighborhoods?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Right.
We don't have enough people. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're going to end up calling in the National Guard. New York's doing that right now in the subway system. So who knows?
Didn't we call for the National Guard here in Chicago a long time?
Oh yeah.
And what did the left call us?
Racist.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you're not of the right and you were called a racist. Yeah. And I'm on the right and I was called a racist and I guess everyone was called racists. And guess what? New York is bringing them in, National Guard into the subways, at least, to show a presence, to give people confidence, I think, right? Because here's the thing that bothers me. Women alone on the train. Women alone on the train. Most of them are black women alone on the train. How did they survive going to work and at night and going to on the train alone with all these, pardon me, what are we going to call them? Thugs or feral youth or something? I don't want to offend anyone, Stacey Davis Gates. Right. So what do we call them? But, you know, they're robbers.
Ne'er-do-wells, John. They're ne'er-do-wells.
Oh, yeah, they're utes. Yeah, misunderstood utes. But so what?
And that was, John, I mean, that was a Robert Mylon brought us that idea. And he had it mapped out. And he was looking at it, not necessarily from what we're talking about now, because it was kind of a different situation when we talked to him. It was there were young kids were getting killed in numbers rivaling deaths at the peak in Iraq. We were getting that Chirac mentality. And that was 5+ years ago. And while people will tout that, you know, quote unquote, violent crime is down. When someone points a gun in your face and demands your wallet, I don't care what you say, that's a violent crime. When someone puts a gun in your face and takes your car, that's a violent crime. Because they didn't pistol whip you or they physically harm you. I mean, these are the same people who want to couch it like that, but they then call being asked direct questions by the media traumatic. And it's like, okay, what's because really they're trauma?
Offensive.
Right, because I'm not, because they don't follow questions. In line with your narrative, I'm somehow causing trauma to you. I'm not, you know, I could point a gun at you and that's not necessarily dangerous. You know, that's not a crime. That's not violent, but it is. And so it's this idea that they keep redefining what things are without really even thinking through the consequences or have any forethought to what the ripple effect outward will be from bad decision making. This isn't a laboratory at, you know, Walter Payton, right? This isn't a laboratory where we can go ahead, well, let's try sprinkling some money on over here and taking money.
Not even a physics laboratory. You're talking about a political laboratory.
Right. And it's the outcomes are not going to be contained to the lab. They're going to rifle out to the rest of the city, and people are either going to leave or they're not. But I guarantee you, if they have a choice, they're going to leave, because as beautiful as the city is, you can't live here if you're worried about your business being broken into 4 or 5 times a year, or your car getting stolen on the street and having to track that down, or your kids not getting an education.
Are you being fair to Mayor Johnson? Right now, are we being fair to him, or was he saddled with decades of neglect from the Daleys, and now he's stuck with, you know, he wanted to do radical Marxist
he put himself in the path of the boulder. And if he wasn't strong enough to hold it up, then he shouldn't have put his name out for it. And clearly, he isn't.
I totally agree. I feel no compassion for a man that was not ready, but was put out there. It's, you know, the Preckwinkles and the Stacey Davis Gates.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, he's going to be perfect. He's good. This guy's going to be perfect mouthpiece for us. But
he can't handle
the day to day operations of running a city, because he's never really run anything. He doesn't understand finance. I mean, that's clear. You have all these people asking for things from him, and, you know, our brother is trying to do the best he can. But I'm not weeping for him. And Stacey Davis Gates is very disingenuous when she comes out with the tears, because she's the one that's pushing for $50 billion. I mean, she wants to help her brother, then you don't ask for $50 billion.
If you want to help your brother, you don't push him blind drunk in the middle of the street. Okay? You don't push him. You don't get him all drunk and then say, let's walk, you know, go walk.
Yeah, get
walk home. Walk across to Dan Ryan. No, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Now he's in trouble, and You know, and I again, I come back to the same problem, the children. It's amazing to me that the media really doesn't care, because if they did care about those kids like they pretend to care, they would be holding idiots like Stacey Davis Gates and Brandon Johnson and Tony Preckwinkle. They would hold their feet to a fire, right? I mean, I would assume.
It's getting to the point, John, like you said, that there is, you know, some of that is starting to happen because it's just so bad. But
what about Preckwinkle?
Right.
No. What about Pritzker? What about the fat boy, Governor Fat Boy? He looks to me like that, you know, anyone see the big boy, like the drive-in big boy? You know, the guy holding the platter over his head, the fat guy?
Oh,
that's yes. him, you know? There's a big boy. It was used to be, I think there was one on 63rd and Pulaski. Yeah, big boy. Give me a double.
Well, didn't he just cut a 1% tax we're supposed to be all excited about.
Right. He's eliminating the grocery tax.
Right. But his aspirations are not the city or the state. His aspirations are becoming president. So the games are starting where we're going to start seeing promises made again, monies that are going to be promised and probably flow. I don't know if Stacey is going to get $50 billion. I think they aim high in hopes that they're going to get half. But still, where is the money going to come from? Right. And they thought that the migrant issue, I think that's the reason why they were so open-armed to them coming, because they thought that they were going to get federal dollars out of it because the COVID monies were running short. Now they're seeing that that's not going to happen. So what do we do? Oh my gosh, well, we need $50 billion and that's going to help with the migrant issue and it's going to help with special ed and it's going to help build greenhouses and green schools and we're going to, bring Chicago home and it's going to force people to leave. Who wants to stay in a city that's constantly looking for money and constantly going to its constituency in order to raise it? They're not cutting anything. I'm not seeing them cut anything. It's always, we need to do this, and this for our people.
Well, I would like Jeff, because he's a big cat guy. And I don't know if Aaron's, are you a cat person or a dog?
No, I'm a dog person.
Me too. Good.
Sorry, Jeff.
I'm both.
But she has this paragraph that I thought of Jeff. In her column, she says, next, since we have been named the rattiest city and the city of feral cats, a Rats and Cats Cafe would be a great opportunity for pet adoption. Who wouldn't want the challenge of taming a wild cat or rat? This was Jeff Carlin's idea. You know, you stole this idea. Jeff,
sorry. Was this your idea, Jeff?
No, I think we were focusing on terriers, but doing it, John, I think that was you and I doing the Terrier Ratting League in the alleys, which I still think would be, we could get that on ESPN.
That would be such a good.
Well, Aaron, it certainly is a fantastic column. I mean, it's a really good read, and it's this idea that, right, the city can't fix the city's problems with platitudes. You know, you can't, you know, smile speak your way out of it, which Stacey Davis Gates and Brandon Johnson seem to be very good at. But what do you think what comes to mind? I mean, when John and I talk about the Chicago way, what is your definition of the Chicago way?
The Chicago way is to, in my opinion, to have politicians that get in that promise the moon and deliver on nothing.
All right.
And people just continue to vote for it. I mean, we've had 100 years of Democrats in control of the city of Chicago, and nothing has changed. And people just keep voting the same way. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But they fall in love with the promises that are offered, and then they see that it doesn't work. They feel screwed over. The next election comes, and they do exactly the same thing all over again. It's empty promises every single time. And the idea that the rich are going to get us out of this. Well, if they're rich, they're not going to get us out of this. They're going to get out of Illinois. They're not going to suddenly be bleeding hearts and say, you know what, you're right. Raise all of these fees on us because we deserve to pay for whatever new thing that you're coming up with.
Bring
Chicago home.
You know where they're going? Guys, they're going to Naples, Florida, where I'm going. I like Naples. I might head down there in a week or two.
Yep.
Talk to some Chicago expatriates because there are many down there. But this flinty-eyed, cold logic of Aaron Geary is something to behold because 30 years of teaching in the Chicago public schools, suburban public schools, the Catholic Archdiocese, and then after retiring, she started writing at her own Substack. Aaron, really good stuff. Really good
stuff. Thank you.
We could find Aaron. Where do we find you, Aaron, on social media?
I am at commonfolk365.substack.com.
Go to commonfolk365 at Substack, the Chicago Contrarian, or johncastnews.com, many other places. Aaron Geary, thanks for being here on the Chicago Way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
For Aaron Geary, writing at John Cass News with 30 years of teaching experience in the Chicago Public Schools, suburban public schools, and the Catholic Archdiocese. And for Jeff Carlin, WGN executive producer, future physics teacher, friend of Kath's and husband to Christine, and me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News, husband, father, Orthodox Christian. Join us again next time where you can have a cup of common sense on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.